Hey everybody, good morning and happy Thursday, May 2nd, last plant-based morning show of the week. Of course, we got the afternoon show tomorrow. No great big article today, but a ton of weather report. Current events, political, dramatic, presidential candidates involved, former presidential candidates who have dropped out, I think, involved, fake meat, cultivated meat. I don't know if we have fake meat, but just a lot of stuff happening, and I wouldn't say it's either good or bad. It's a mixed bag today. So I'm excited to cover it all. Doug, how are you doing today?
Matt, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I went on my first run of the week since last Saturday's long run because I've been sick. And it kind of made me feel terrible. I'm not going to lie. I woke up feeling pretty good. And I had a lot of energy last night. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do it. And when I got done, my head pressure was just like super intense. I had a headache. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not ready. Or I don't know. Maybe I had to work through it a little bit.
Maybe you're done running, overrunning like me, where you just hit a point. You say, this is not for me anymore. I'm now a weightlifter.
Suddenly I'm a weightlifter. It could be. No, I don't think so. I enjoyed the run itself. It just, it amplified some of the symptoms of my cold.
Gotcha. Are you in general feeling better though? Besides that?
Yeah, much better.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Me too. My son Holden got sick, but he seems to be better too already. So.
Nice.
We're on the mend. Everything good. I have a tiny update. Last night I made bourbon chicken out of sardine chicken. Yeah, we talked about this a couple days ago. I forget. I think it was in the samples conversation of like restaurants having samples, and we mentioned that at the mall food courts they used to give out the bourbon chicken samples.
That was always the thing. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would rope you. I mean, rope me in all the time. You taste that and like. Just couldn't go then to Subway or Sbarro or whatever other alternative there might be because you just tasted that bourbon chicken. It was so good. But I haven't had that in so long. So I Googled recipes. I found a vegan version of it that just used the Gardein Ultimate Chicken Tender Filet things, which is weird because they have bread on them. And I don't think the bourbon chicken ever had breading. So I got Gardein's Ultimate, like non-breaded ones, and then found a different recipe on food.com for bourbon chicken. And I made it, and it turned out better than most stir fries that I make. Like the stir fry sauces that I make at home, they're just never that great. I found a book that has some decent ones, but it's never quite like getting food out. Actually, it's never even close to getting like Chinese food out. That kind of taste of sauce. Yeah,
right.
This one actually tasted really good. It didn't like thicken, and that is another problem I have with stir fry. Sometimes the sauce just doesn't thicken quickly, and so we end up eating it. It's all this kind of runny, liquidy sauce. So that was the problem, but the taste was actually very good. So if you want something different, food.com, bourbon chicken. That recipe doesn't actually have bourbon in it because it says...
Oh, really? I was going to ask.
Because the name comes from a chef who invented it who worked on Bourbon Street and that there is no bourbon in it. No. But a bunch of other recipes do have bourbon in it. That one has apple juice. So I put a little bit of bourbon in. We happen to have some left over from when visitors were here months ago. So anyway, I used a little bit of that, but it was good. I mean, it wasn't bad. I didn't really like the Gardein chicken though. Like that stuff, somehow the breading helps to like mask it a little bit. And without it, plus that dish just like centers on the chicken. So there was a lot of it.
I
just bought it. I just bought it without the stuff.
The non-breaded kind. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And
what if you did tofu?
That's what I was thinking. That would have been a better thing. Healthier. Just would have liked it better.
Do you ever get Chinese takeout?
Yeah, we do that fairly often. But once a month maybe. That's one of my favorite kind of takeouts because it's not too expensive still. Like everything else, it's managed to stay low in price and it's just good.
What do you get? What do you like to get?
Usually there's only two tofu dishes at most places. There's like Szechuan or home style tofu. So I usually get that. And then we get, you know, garlic broccoli or whatever. And then always, almost always, you can get steamed vegetables as a separate thing, like on the healthy menu or whatever, and get that. And then you kind of put that in with the other stuff and you just get, I feel like more healthy stuff without quite so much of the unhealthy stuff, the sauce. What do you guys, do that much? You have one in Black Mountain. We used to go to from Asheville.
Yeah. We hardly ever do it, but, I recently got it because when, Katie was in town, she wanted some Chinese food and so I got some, and we got some sort of vegetable tofu dish, and it was delicious. It was really good.
Yeah, They are good. And for like leftovers the next day.
Just yeah, great. I know. There's a ton of food. I mean, it, like an enormous amount of food for every dish. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's probably less healthy. But as far as like making your own stir fry at home versus buying it, the cost isn't that different. And it just, I don't know. Sometimes a lot of chopping and stuff. And you got to do the tofu separately somehow or whatever. It's like, it's a hassle. I guess it's much healthier than getting the Chinese food though, probably.
The, you remember, I don't know, a couple of months ago, I had a little solo weekend by myself. Do you remember that?
Where you went out and wrote?
I went skiing and did some riding and stuff. But I went to just like a small, you know, strip mall, Chinese restaurant there. And they had a whole like vegan section of the menu. And, I think it was General Tso's tofu. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it wasn't like heavily sauced, like what I pictured it being. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And so I don't know, I'm kind of like fired up on Chinese food right now. Even though I've only had it twice in the last, several months or year. Probably. Right.
But that's probably why you're fired up, because you're not sick of it yet. Yeah. And it's good. It's a great one. Like I said, once a month or so, it's really good. Actually, I was craving it yesterday, and that's why I ended up saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go make my own thing. But I almost just did that. I don't get the sweet ones. I don't get the General Tso's or the sesame tofu. If you ever see sesame tofu, it's almost always just too sticky and sweet. So I don't.
Yeah, man. Sesame chicken was like my jam when I was in high school and college. Yeah. Oh my God. I get so much of that stuff. And then like
all right,
three good. Pieces of broccoli and the rest of it's just like, chicken with covered in sauce.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. All right. Good morning to people who are here. Taborlin P99, I guess put like a failed, emoji or something. Didn't come through on Restream, but morning person tortoise waving, it says. Garuda Legend says hello and then has some advice for you in a minute, Doug. KDC, Mr. Jeffrey, Gregory Green, Kate, a.k.a. Rivercat, Anne-Marie Dube, Allie, Brandon Turner, Kelly K, a lot of familiar faces, Scott Mulholland, Carmen, Jeff, I should say familiar names, Phyllis Hauser, Stephen Dunn's even here. A lot of people here. It's a good group. Garuda says, don't duck them legs, which I don't know what that means. But then running is not the best if you like to lift and destroy your ligaments. I don't like
this. Running destroy your ligaments? Or
if you like to lift? Later he says, if you are a city dude, all your kids will suffer from knee issues.
Oh, Garuda.
I don't know.
Don't come after my running, man. You can come after my vegan diet, but don't come after my running.
You can't come after Doug's running. All right.
Oh, no. I think...
Garuda knows.
I don't think Garuda knows.
Garuda likes to present things without feeling the need to back them up with evidence right away. But then when pressed, he often does provide something like evidence. So if you want to expand on that, Garuda, or even clarify, I'm not sure quite what you're implying there about the running or the city thing. But I'm curious. I'd like to know.
I'm city thing. He's probably talking about running on pavement, would be my guess. But
then why would your kids all suffer from knee issues just because you get them from running on pavement?
Oh yeah.
So I'm confused, but let us know. I'd like to know that. All right. Everyone's saying salt. Salt is the problem with the Chinese food. I thought it was the MSG, the sugar in those sweet ones. And then I just imagine those sauces are loaded with like cornstarch or something that makes it actually thick. Maybe that's fine. I don't really know. Cornstarch. But yeah, it's not a common food. And like I said, cut it with the steamed vegetables. That's the way to do it. Okay. Gregory Green has clarified on Garuda's behalf. And Greg, I guess, is a meat eater because it says pork fried rice and spring rolls, tasty but terribly salty, a treat only. And I think Gregory Green was saying no to the fake meat yesterday. So maybe Gregory Green is in Garuda's camp and says, if you're in shape, running is not bad. If you're out of shape and top heavy, that weight will kill your knees. I do think that's very likely true. Not in all cases, perhaps, but I don't know. You picture someone who's been running a long time. As a result, they're thin and they know how to run and they can do it, you know, with little damage to their body. And then you picture someone brand new at running. Like when I started running and I wasn't overweight at all, I know for a fact that my form was terrible and I hit the ground hard with every step compared to the way you're supposed to run.
See, I think that's much more it than being top heavy. And it's just the fact that your muscles, your knees, your ligaments, none of that stuff is your bones aren't strong, don't have the strength that they do if you've been running for a long time and trained them properly. So, you know, I think a lot of people have knee issues at the beginning. I certainly did during my first marathon, had a ton of knee issues. Since then, haven't had any, knock on wood. And I think a lot of that's just about form and proper training, proper buildup. so that you can you can strengthen your knees and strengthen all the muscles around it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was going to say, well, that, you know, being heavy has got to increase the force. But to your point, and Mr. Jeffries, if you start it gradually, you can actually, it can become a form of strengthening those joints and bones and things, as long as you don't hurt yourself in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think that the whole destroying your knees is a myth. It's as long as you're running properly and training properly. If you do anything too much, too repetitive, and it's not, you're not doing it properly, of course it's going to be an issue. But
yeah, but what about, like, don't 95% of runners just slam their heel into the ground and with their foot way out in front of their body, and like, that's going to cause issues?
I don't know if that's true anymore. I don't know.
That form isn't good, or that people don't run like that anymore?
Well, I think that's probably an over-exaggeration. If that was the case, like, everyone would be having running issues, and most people,
which is what happens. McDougal said so in Born to Run. Whatever number, 80% of runners are injured every year or something.
Yeah.
Well, you think he made that up?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, his argument was that you do, unless you start running in the right form, and he's, you know, the barefoot running is the model for that kind of form. So yeah, I don't really know. Gregory Green says, how many overweight people train properly? Good question. I don't know. The running is
probably a lot. A tough
thing to recommend to someone who's just getting into fitness or just trying to get in shape. Mm-hmm. Because of that injury risk. So I don't know. Kate says, we helped her so much with the smaller steps back in the day on the podcast. So that's good. Mm. I don't know if Kate was that long time of a listener, but yeah, we have beaten that drum a lot over the years. All right. So there you go. There's audience check-in, and like I said, lengthy weather report today. So we might as well get to it. Here we go. Doug, you're a big F1 fan, and I think this is the same sport. Danica Patrick, she was like one of the first darlings of the plant-based diet. She was an athlete during plant-based diet. You call them athletes, right? These
sure.
Race car drivers. Yeah, she was early on plant-based. I think this was probably 2018, maybe 2017. And it was big news. People were happy about it. Turns out she's gone carnivorous for a while now. She consistently advocates it on her podcast. Mm. And she draws her views on veganism after her ill plight with veganism. She commented under somebody's post, I went through my own journey of questioning protein and feeling bad for the animals, and I eat a lot of meat now. Makes me feel significantly better. So that's okay, I guess. You can say that about yourself. That's fine.
Sure.
But then she goes on a recent Instagram story. She said, she shared a video, highlighted the dangers of vegetables, most of them being carcinogenic, which is confusing to me because carcinogenic means cancer causing. So I just don't get, I mean, I get how people are going to say anti-nutrients and all these different things. I can't imagine how you would back up a statement saying most vegetables are carcinogenic. It just doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, she said, interesting. The less vegetables I eat, the healthier I become. The least healthy I was when I tried to be mainly plant-based. No more analysis needed. There you go. No more analysis needed.
No more analysis. Definitive statement. Vegetables cause cancer. All right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is with people who go un-vegan, un-vegetarian, what the need is to like go 100% the opposite direction and then start bashing it. I just don't get it. I guess people do the opposite too. Maybe there are carnivores who go the opposite, or maybe it doesn't happen because the carnivore diet is so much superior that you never would.
Do you think it's because people who, I mean, this is a very general statement, very generalizing greatly. And I don't even know, you know, and we talk about plant-based diet every single day, just about 5 days a week, right? So we certainly fall in this case, but also I don't ever talk about it outside of work, really, maybe because I talk about it all the time on the podcast.
Right.
But do you think the people who go vegan are just drawn to diet extremes, and therefore when they leave veganism, they go extreme in another direction?
I think that's right. And people who, especially people who publicly go vegan, like she did, you know, they do it. It's a thing. And then, I mean, it's certainly, I've done bouncing around between diets now within vegan. Before that, I was, you know, I actually did a paleo thing before No Meat Athlete just for a little while. But I understand the feeling of getting excited about a new thing and you want to kind of dive all into it. We did that within different variants of plant-based. I think someone who's willing to go all the way vegan, probably willing to go all the way the other way at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, to believe that this is the answer. I don't know.
I never once did any sort of diet before going vegetarian.
No? Wow. I guess I'm not surprised by that. You don't seem like a good diet type. You know?
I know. I'm kind of surprised every day when I wake up and I'm like, I'm vegan? Wow. Not really.
KC says it's a guilty conscience. That's why. She must be trying to rationalize. I don't know if it's guilty, but I do think you probably get slammed by all the vegans when you stop being vegan. And then that probably makes you want to start to have the attacks back and you know, look for any positive or any negative thing about that you could call it. The other thing is, I think there's something real about what people experience when they switch diets, like there's extreme switches of diets. You're going to have extreme changes in the nutrients that your body is getting and isn't getting. So for a short time, right, because deficiencies usually take a while to develop, but they probably take not that long to undevelop. So when you switch diets from something you've been doing for a while, you suddenly aren't deficient anymore in stuff. But then over time, you start to develop the deficiencies associated with this newer diet of yours. So I do think there's a period where people think, this is amazing. This is so much better than what I was doing. But that, in theory, would happen moving the other direction too.
Yeah.
So you keep bouncing around. That's what people do.
I mean, at some point, she's going to have to eat a vegetable. Even carnivore MD is no longer carnivore. And he's now...
Is that right? Is that Paul Saladino?
Yeah, Paul Saladino. Yeah. I mean, he still eats a ton of meat.
Right.
But he doesn't consider himself carnivore anymore.
I mean, how can you be that? It just doesn't make sense that the guy in charge of it, whatever his name is, blanking on his name, not Saladino, but he's we talked about this. He said like there's no long-term studies. No one knows what happens in the long-term with this.
Right.
It's based, I guess, on theory that this was all people ate. And even that theory appears not to be true.
It's busted. We busted it this week.
So I don't know. It just seems bizarre to me that like, I mean, there's a lot of medical or nutritional evidence. It's a really hard thing to sort through, but like you find a few themes that just appear to be true. And vegetables is probably the number one of those themes all through the years, all the time, all the diets, except for this carnivore diet, have said these are really the healthiest thing. And then, you know, whatever you do around that is depends on the diet, but like you got to get the vegetables. So to say vegetables cancer causing in this case.
Yeah. Kate has a good point here. Good comment. Looking for negative things is not the same as lying about straight up science and making up facts. You feel better? That's fine. Carcinogenic? No.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like if you feel better, like it's totally fine. You report how you're feeling and all this and that. That's good. But yeah, and I don't know if she is the one who said they were carcinogenic or this video that she shared did. I'm not sure, but either way. All right, moving on. Enough of that. Doug, my dad and your mom each shared with us something today. Must be something for the older set, I guess. That DeSantis in Florida, Governor DeSantis, is it Ron DeSantis? Is that his name? Yeah,
Ron DeSantis. Yep.
He sticks fork in lab grown meat, says CBS News here. And then they put a picture of Beyond Meat in the.
I know. I thought that was terrible. Like, that's the problem, right? It's like everybody associates plant based meat and like Beyond Meat with
lab grown, right? Yeah, the term. I mean, you're right. I bet the vast majority of people in the country don't know the difference between that. They would, you know, multiple choice connect those things and say Beyond Meat is lab grown. But so they need better terms. It's not the people's fault, I don't think. Well, maybe it is. If you're gonna have really strong opinions, you should probably know what you're talking about. But but they do need a better term that will separate the plant-based meats from the cultivated meats that are literally growing animal cells. Anyway, he has a bill here. It prevents regulation of electric vehicle charging stations. I don't know what all that is about, really. I'm sure there's some sort of lots of political stuff there too. But along with this, he says, he stated, save our beef at the Hardy County Cattlemen's Arena in Wachula. And it made it a second degree misdemeanor to sell or manufacture cultivated meat. So I guess you can still get it. You can probably order it shipped in, but you can't go get it at a restaurant or the grocery store or anything like that. So I don't know.
This seems like a pretty big deal. I mean, if a bunch of states follow suit and so you start having... you know, all the southern states or all the Midwestern states where, you know, maybe the cattle industry, the meat industry is popular. Like, I think that's not good for cultivated meat. If they're all saying you can't sell it, which would pretty much kill it in the United States, right? I mean, no one's going to, I mean, well, if you're having the market, right? If you're saying that all the red states, for example, are now, you can't even sell it, then, I mean, it's not... That would mean that you can't do mass production runs that go out into grocery stores. You can't do what we've been talking about where you're like blending cultivated meat with
with
non-cultivated meat.
Yep. Right.
To keep costs down and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I think that would be really hard for for an industry to grow in the United States like that.
Yeah. True.
Unless it's the marijuana industry, because then, I mean, you know, people are going to buy that. But in this case, you're having to like fight against the tide to get people to adopt it. And
right. Right. So, I mean, obviously, well, I don't know about obviously, but it seems to me like, you know, the people doing this would be trying to protect the interest of their cattle farmers and things like that. Are they doing it also because they're trying to protect the public health or something else? Like, I just don't understand the banning of it. It just seems like I understand that you might educate people on like why this might not be the same or whatever, but what about this is so awful that it must be illegal? I just don't understand it, except for the protecting of industry. And I don't know, that to me, that just seems like it only lasts so long and eventually it topples. Like, you just can't. But with this, like, let's say a bunch of states do it to protect their industry. Will there be people who so passionately want this that they can't? Like, if it was way cheaper and it was illegal, you know, people would find ways to get it still and they would still do it. Or if it was way, way better and it was illegal, they'd still find ways. But when it's just this kind of argument, like, well, this is better for everybody else, right? For the animals, for the environment. But to you on a personal basis, it's not going to really make a difference. It's the same, let's say it's the same health as regular meat, which I know people will argue with, but like, will people so passionately want that? I know we will, like people who care about how animals are raised and all that will, but like, I don't know. I just don't know if there might be this demand where if it was the same price and same ease of getting, people might choose it with that extra knowing that they're doing some good with it. But I don't know. I don't know if people are going to want it that badly.
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing, is like, you're having to already kind of convince people to get it and try
it. Right.
And so now if you've made it almost impossible for them to do that, they're not going to seek it out. I mean, all these quotes, obviously I didn't watch his statement, but from all these quotes in this article, it sounds like it's just protecting the cattle industry.
Right.
You know, folks want to eliminate the meat production in the United States. And it's at an ideological agenda that wants to finger agriculture as a problem.
I mean, are they going to start saying, well, we can't have AI in the state because we got to protect these workers?
Right. I mean, that's it's crazy. It's, you know, it's another, another example of a classic Ron DeSantis sticking it to the old Republican principles of small government by making a big government anti-capitalism stance.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Like, I'm okay with people not liking the cultivated meat, being afraid that it's unhealthy. I get that. But outlawing it without any real reason for the public other than protecting industry, that just seems like every other industry that eventually gets toppled. Record industry, book industry, all these things, right? Things change and then one day they're gone.
I looked up the EV, the electric vehicle charging station thing, just because I was curious. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's a county in California that has moved to any new gas station has to also offer charging stations, and one of the counties in Florida was looking to do the same, and so this is preventing that from happening.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. All right. On to the next, more controversy here. The anti-Israel protesters who are, according to this, hunkered down on the grounds of the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, they put out a list of requested donations. So this story, I don't know a lot about this. I saw there was a headline about it. Aaron yesterday asked me if I knew about it, and I said, no, not really. I just saw that they were taking over buildings. So that's all I know. Is this like an Occupy situation?
Yeah, yep. It's an anti-war, anti-Israeli war, Occupy. Yeah.
Okay.
Started Columbia University, I think, and spread across to college campuses all over.
Well, you know, I love protests of all form, right? I love when the protesters will do things that disrupt the lives of lots of people who are not involved at all. My favorite thing. So that's all I can say about it. Without having any idea what the issue is, I don't understand those things. And it's not something I do learn about. But here's what they said. This interests me. So they wanted a bunch of stuff that's for like fighting, I guess. A medical stockpile, food and sleeping bags. Elbow knee pads, wood for barriers, skater helmets, shields, all these things. But they said in capital letters, no packaged food, no coffee, no bagels, no bananas, no nuts. They don't want any of that. So that's, I'm very confused. The reason that this is in this, why we're talking about this, is because they said they do want vegan and gluten-free items. And it kind of, it's not really clear. I looked at the document or a screenshot of it. It almost seems like they only want vegan and gluten-free. If it's not that, they don't want it. But with a specific request, hot food for lunch, and then important in all caps. So they got to have hot food for lunch. No wraps or anything like that. No hummus wraps. So that's tough. I mean, gluten-free, vegan, hot, what?
Yeah.
Not that many things.
Some big demands. No bananas, yeah. No coffee.
How would someone deliver hot food to them? Like, aren't there like police all around and everything?
I don't know.
Drone?
I mean, people are coming in and out, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
All right. And then the campers were also banned from using sunscreen, according to the sheet. So okay, maybe you understand this better than I do. Like, why would they not want all those things? Why would they not want packaged food, coffee, bagels, bananas? Because they're just like fundamentally against those things.
Okay. So I looked it up. I looked it up because in particular, bagels caught my attention, right? Bagels are traditionally Israeli food or Jewish food, right?
Okay.
And that was like a bad alarm bell in my head. And I was like, surely they're not doing that. And it turns out they're not. It just, I looked it up and they clarified later that they just had a lot of coffee and a lot of bagels and a lot of nuts and a lot of bananas and they didn't need more of it. So they were telling people to buy other stuff, bring other stuff. The packaged food, my guess is they want real food, whole foods, maybe, and vegan foods. I don't know.
In addition to liking people who protest things and disrupt things, I like when people beg for things, but only specific, very specific things of the begging. Don't be generous in this way. We just needed to be generous in this way. That I like. But I truly, I'm fully out on the whole knowing what's going on with this thing. So I'm not picking a side here. I just, you know, me and protesting, I'm just not a fan of it usually.
Yeah.
All right. More Middle East stuff. The Middle East Vegan Society has just launched its new Vegan Islam Initiative. Plans to educate the public on veganism, the religion of Islam, and their complementary values. Would you have thought, Doug, that Islam and vegan go together?
No, I would not have thought that. But I wouldn't have thought against it either, really.
Right. I wouldn't have either. You think about some of the food from that region, and there is a lot of vegan food that is eaten, I think. But you also see, you know, the lambs on the spits and all, or whatever that stuff is. So I don't know. I don't want to guess it. What terms mean what? Because I'll sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, which I don't. But they noted one notable commonality between Islam and veganism is a shared emphasis on love and compassion towards animals. So they talk about Islamic concepts such as harm avoidance and preserving nature. So this is from Plant-Based News, by the way. I like this. I like when people draw common grounds.
Yeah.
Good with that. All right. Up next, multimedia session here. Donald Trump. They're saying, this is from, I think, Yahoo, says it's no surprise he doesn't know much about vegan food, but he also doesn't know how to say the word. So he, in a talk he gave, or a rally, or whatever this would be, he uttered the word, and you can guess how he said it. The only way people mispronounce vegan, especially people who are of a certain age, they do it like this. Get my sound down here.
Bones, a vegan restaurant, supposed to be really good.
Sorry about that noise. Okay, ready? Try again.
I'm not into the vegan stuff, I must say, but I'm going to have to try this. It's a vegan restaurant.
So vegan. He's not into the vegan stuff, but he's got to try this. So he's at least saying he's got to try this. That's kind of good, I guess. I don't really know who he's talking about.
It's because the person who introduced him owns a series of vegan restaurants, I guess. So
in Milwaukee, he's talking about. Uh-huh. I didn't know there were a series of vegan restaurants in Milwaukee. I'm surprised by that at all.
I didn't either.
This isn't good because, I mean, to me, if you're Trump, I think part of your platform is that Biden is old and, you know, old fashioned. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So he's the one who should be saying vegan, and you should be making fun of him for saying vegan, not you saying it.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say it wouldn't have surprised me at all if this clip had been of Biden.
Right.
or half of Congress, right? I mean, but it is pretty funny, right? it's just funny to hear people mispronounce it like that.
It is funny. And it's always older people too.
Okay, boomer, right?
Yep, that's what it is. Steve says vegan sounds fancy.
Oh yeah. Gotta get your vegan
meat. Maybe if it was the first time I ever heard of it, it might sound fancy. It sounds like a sort of foreign word or something. Now to me, it just sounds out of touch when I hear that. It just sounds like somebody's grandparents who just don't know.
Right, right. Yeah, I could definitely see my grandmother having said that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And I wonder if it was at one time pronounced that way, like commonly pronounced. I'm sure that wasn't, maybe that wasn't the initial intention of the people who made up the word, but I wonder if at some point in the mainstream, that was what they said. And I think in like the 70s and 80s, it is how people generally said it.
You're hypothesizing that, or you think that's true?
Well, is that the same thing? I'm guessing that's true. Based on the evidence I have from people pronouncing it of who were alive during that time or adults during that time, I always hear them say it that way. So I just think that's probably how it was said then by most people. All right, Walmart. We've talked a little bit about Walmart recently. They're making a comeback in terms of coolness factor. They've got a new private label brand. It's called Better Goods. It's green. The branding is green, which we, from Impossible Foods, we know that's not a good idea if you're trying to target meat eaters with it. But it's not a plant-based line, but they do have three like main categories. And one of them is plant-based. They've got culinary experiences. I don't really know what that means. Just must be sort of fancy foods. Plant-based options, and then made without products, made without, in quotes, products for various needs. So that's like the, you know, food made without soy or made without gluten or maybe made without animal products. Although I don't know how that would be different from the plant-based options. But this is pretty good. I mean, Walmart already had a lot of plant-based meat options, at least if you go there and look in the frozen section. But so now they're doing more of that, and they're doing more with the private brand thing, which I think the private brands, people are getting into that, and that whole movement is growing.
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean private brands? What does that mean?
You know, like Safeway's got their, Whole Foods has their 360, whatever it is. And Safeway has their thing. I forget what it is.
Kirkland
is the Costco one. Yeah. People like those things now. People get t-shirts of those things now.
Yeah. Kirkland is like, I mean, I think it's super popular.
Yeah. I was like Nature's Promise. In the early days of Nomad Athlete, Nature's Promise at Giant was a great, brand that just always had like organic or plant-based kind of things.
Isn't Nature's Promise across several different?
Yeah, because Giant is actually like five different places. Like if you go to the west, it's looks like a similar logo but a different.
Oh, name. I see. Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think Harris. No, I don't know. So I've been getting it recently, that brand again, and I forget which store it's from.
Publix.
Is Publix? It could be Publix.
I don't know. It might be. I'm not sure.
But Publix has their own store brand though, so that's why I'm confused.
Oh yeah.
But maybe Nature's Promise is like their organic brand. Anyway, Doug, will this make Walmart, will this bump them up on your weekly shopping rounds now that there's some maybe more choices to go get?
No.
Not going to add it to the rotation?
I mean, I already think that they do a great job with plant-based foods. Honestly, I think it's a great spot to get inexpensive vegetables. And
was it already in your rotation?
No. No, I mean, because there's not one conveniently located to me, and because it stresses me out like that. And that's a me problem. That's not a you problem. Right. You know, that's or an anyone else problem. That's a me problem. It just stresses me out. It's too big.
Yeah.
And too crowded.
It's not that crowded because it's so big that it's not that crowded. I mean, the parking lot's crowded, but anyway.
I mean, the last time I went in there, which is I took pictures of it and posted it in the Discord because I got all this meat that I couldn't get anywhere else. Vegan meat. But I don't know, like it's just like in that aisle, all this, it was just too chaotic. There were, you know, the carts are like extra big. And, for me, it felt a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Someone has pointed out, sorry, I lost it. The Greenwise, Anne-Marie says, is the organic Publix brand. And that jogged my memory. It is Food Lion where I've been getting the Nature's Promise. So Food Lion must be related to Giant in some way. Steven says, the store brand here in NL, what's NL? Netherlands, has launched a massive range called Terra, T-E-R-R-A, all clearly labeled and all totally plant-based. We may have talked about that at some point. I'm not sure, but sounds familiar. Okay, next up, I told you, we had a lot in the weather report today. Just
I know, this is the best news of the week.
You're going to be thrilled about this. About this one. This is two of your favorite things, literally rolled into one. Just Egg is rolling on a new line of plant-based burritos. Mm-hmm. Available in select states before a broader U.S. release for July 2024. The company said these are frozen burritos that don't suck. That was the quote. What do you think about companies saying that kind of you know, irreverent.
Yeah, stuff. I don't love it. Honestly, you know what I mean? I don't love it. And call me an old man, but I don't love it.
Yeah, just like slutty vegan. We don't like that branding. Be professional. Just say they're good.
No, see, I don't feel that way about slutty vegan. I think that they've owned the whole thing. But Just Egg is not a slutty vegan, right? Where they're not owning this kind of
that's edgy. A very good point. Very good point. For Just Egg's audience, this kind of language doesn't make sense. For slutty vegans, it clearly does. But that's why I'm not slutty vegan's audience. all right. They said new breakfast items are hand wrapped, hand filled. Is that right? Someone's actually rolling those things by hand. I guess so. With 100% plant-based ingredients and fluffy Just Egg. Can you get the Just Egg again in regular form, Doug, or you have to get it?
No, only the frozen, like, I don't know what you call them. Patty things.
You won't buy Just Egg burritos, defrost them, take out the Just Egg for your other use, and then eat the burrito for dinner.
No, I don't think I would do that. Eat the burrito. I mean, honestly, I would try this for sure.
I'm sure you would. I don't doubt that at all. I don't think I think you'd do more than try it. I think you would sign up right now for a year subscription to these if you presented.
I think you're right about that. If they are looking for an endorsement from a very like D-list celebrity, then then hit me up because I would love to endorse your product.
Definitely. Please hit us up, Just Egg. Two flavors, spicy Southwest variant with rice, beans, poblano peppers, and chipotle sauce. That's a lot of spice for breakfast. And a skillet option with roasted potatoes, broccoli, mushrooms, and dill. You're going Southwest, right, Doug, of those choices?
100%, yeah.
Because the other one doesn't have, like, traditional burrito flavors. Broccoli, mushroom, dill. It sounds like a hummus wrap.
Right, that one seems a little odd to me.
Yeah.
Southwest, for sure, hands down.
All right, well, you can get them in the frozen aisles of Giant stores, where you can also get Nature's Promise brand stuff, as I said, across Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. Nationwide expansion to Whole Foods Market is slated for July 2024. So you have to wait till July unless you're going to go to Virginia, Doug, to grab them, a border run, which I wouldn't be that surprised if you did it. If you found
It's not that infrequent that I pass through West Virginia or Virginia,
Right.
I'll just have to seek out the Giant stores. Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can wait till Whole Foods. I'll do an Asheville Whole Foods / Walmart run. Stock up on a bunch of...
you got to wait 2 months for that. That's in July 2024 when it'll be in Whole Foods.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know.
Okay.
Kate Rivercat says Amy's burritos are hand-wrapped. That's so surprising to me.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they hand-wrap those things. That they can't figure out how to have a machine do that.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Maybe just
you ever get Amy's burritos?
We now get the Whole Foods version of that.
Mm.
That 365 brand. But I used to get the Amy's. And I always liked them. They were good in a pinch.
Yeah. We get them. The kids love them. I mean, they'll just devour those bean burritos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Steven says, do they contain egg? He must mean the Just Egg ones that have Just Egg, which is vegan egg made from... those, what are they called? Mung beans, right? Mung bean protein, I think.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, last but not least, four separate studies compiled into a review for the International Journal of Cancer have highlighted that a diet centered around plant-based foods coupled with staying active may significantly boost survival rates for bowel cancer patients. I feel like we talked about that before, but I don't know. I actually didn't see the word bowel in this thing. The headline said cancer survival boosted by a plant-based diet. And then I copied this and well, you know, it's just for bowel cancer, but hey, it's something.
Yeah, I mean, it is something. And then, you know, maybe it's
good.
I mean, they were probably studying one type of cancer, right?
Yeah, right.
So there you go.
All right. Steven says he was curious because burritos don't normally contain eggs. So maybe that's an American thing. The breakfast burrito would typically always contain eggs unless you specifically avoided it. I think you'll typically find potatoes and eggs in a breakfast burrito. I think I probably asked you about this a few months ago, Doug. I said, what makes a breakfast burrito? And that's the obvious answer. Eggs and potato. You can get a lot of frozen breakfast burritos now, even vegan ones, but not with just egg.
You can get frozen breakfast burritos with egg in it? With vegan egg?
No, it has like vegan tofu crumble stuff.
Okay.
From Sweet Earth brand. I don't know. I got it on a couple. It had like seitan chunks and some potatoes. Huh. It was actually really good. Microwave thing in a hotel. But it was very good.
Interesting.
Yep. All right. So that was it. The whole weather report. That's our whole show today. We had an article from Veg News about healthy snacks for sleeping, but I read it more. It's just not very good. There's not much good in there too. Nothing to learn.
Do you think we'll cover it later?
No, I don't think so.
Then should we do the unhealthy snack? The snack that.
Yeah, sure.
Kills your sleep.
I mean, what I would say is we had time to say the five things and just list them, but then Mr. Jeffrey's going to get on me because I said we weren't going to talk about something. So we'll just do the one that's bad. The one, the sleep killer, they say, is popcorn.
Popcorn.
The evidence for being a sleep killer is very, very weak, in my opinion. In the Sleep Foundation survey, popcorn snackers reported 12 minutes less sleep per night on average, than average, with only 35% reporting good or excellent sleep quality. But how many percent report good or excellent anyway? I bet it's 50, not that much more than that. So I don't think this is a sleep killer.
You know what? They're enjoying their life for an extra 12 minutes awake, eating some popcorn. Sounds absolutely delicious.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's a sleep killer, but a life positive maker.
Imagine is hurting for things. So they got to put that in the headline. It was surprising when it doesn't. Why is that surprising? It's surprising that popcorn doesn't help you sleep better. I'm not surprised at all by that. And the headline is five nighttime snacks that help you sleep better and a surprising one that doesn't. They did give snacks for the others. I'm not going to go into them, but nothing really interesting, just what you'd normally expect. There was one thing that I thought was interesting, and that was foods with healthy fats was one of them. And they said the survey found that people who ate fatty fish several times per week experienced 42 minutes more sleep per night. And they just let that be, which Veg News typically will not acknowledge the existence of a pro-meat fact or pro meat statistic. So I was just surprised that they put that in here without like immediately, you know, essing on it. They said the key here is consuming healthy fats as part of an overall diet. And then they talked about some plant fats, but I don't know. Yeah. I was just surprised. Sign of the times, maybe. Winds of change.
Would you, do you ever snack on popcorn?
Yeah, but never late. But every now and then, like, I don't know. Honestly, it's usually like before dinner. Like if someone's at soccer practice and I happen to be home with the kid who isn't, we might put on TV and have some popcorn. And we always make it in the pot now, thanks to you. One time you shamed me for using microwave bags still.
Uh-huh.
And then we've done. I think we bought that thing that you recommended, but then I still just use oil in a pot. Some kind of plastic.
We switched to that what's it made out of? Silicone popper.
Yeah. That's what we bought. But I don't remember how that worked out. Is it like air popping, but basically in the microwave?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why I don't like it. I need a little flavor, a little oil and salt.
Yeah, I hear that.
Anyway, popcorn though I think is very good, delicious. Delicious, good snack. And it's whole. I mean, unfortunately, probably a lot of it GMO. Hard to know now, but it's a grain. It's a whole grain, right? Popcorn kernels. It's a good thing.
Sure.
There you go. Except for your sleep, it's a sleep killer.
Sleep killer. Don't eat it. If you want to go to sleep.
Gregory Green says, anything I eat or drink with caffeine is a sleep killer. Yeah, that is fairly obvious and but definitely true. Caffeine is not generally good for sleep. All right. And Steven says one of his favorite discoveries from visiting the South might have been maybe what, about breakfast burritos? I'm not sure. Maybe we just didn't clarify that we're talking about breakfast burritos when we talked about that. Huh. But I think he already knew that breakfast burritos had eggs. Anyway, he says, we have a breakfast roll in Ireland, a lot of fried breakfast foods on a baguette. He prefers the burrito.
Hmm.
And Danielle had air pop popcorn last night and didn't sleep well. Took too long to digest.
There you go.
I mean, you can't eat anything really late and expect to sleep well or better than usual because you're not supposed to do that. All right, there we go.
Back on the, I know I left the intermittent fasting. You know, after that study, that one study that we talked about that said it was bad for your health.
There's a lot of stuff about that. That was not the
point. I know. That seems to be, I mean, even like, I believe it's Peter Attia has kind of completely shifted his perspective around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that it's maybe not good for my, or like ideal for my long-term health. But this week I've been back on it and it's just, I'd like, it really, it kind of makes me feel better. So. You know, it's
mm-hmm. I believe that. Do it sometimes. Do it sometimes, but not all the time. Like,
yeah, right.
Couple days on, couple days not on, couple weeks off on. Yeah. One thing where it's good to just bounce around, I think. All right. That's it. We're done. Done for the week for Plant-Based Morning Show, but we've got Plant-Based Afternoon Show tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Be here. Same place. Look for notifications. Noti's on. And I think it'll be just me and you. I'm not sure about Matt Tolman. I bet he's doubtful. So probably just me and you. So it'll basically be the morning show, but in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. It'll be blast. Yeah. What am I going to be drinking? You don't know until you show up.
Do not know. No idea. All right. That's it. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your Thursday, and we will talk to you tomorrow.